Tim this morning. Pastor Christian.
Amen. We give the good Lord praise once again. It's always a blessing to, like the song says, to come into his house and magnify his name. Hallelujah. Amen. We are blessed to be here. And I'm thankful to be here today. Amen. I've had quite a few events this year. A few more yet to go. So we just pray the Lord's strength throughout the rest of the year. Amen. As Peter put it when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said it is good for us to be here.
Oh, yes it is!
Amen. So we're going to go right ahead. We do have today a word from the Lord.
Amen.
And we'd like you to be enriched by his word.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
And as we have been already instructed that we do have a baptismal service immediately after the morning worship. And we look forward to that as well. Amen. So not to delay the time, we're going to take a look, and I'd like to ask you to read with me from the Old Covenant, from the prophet Daniel. We just mentioned him as we were in the prayer, but we'd like to look into Daniel, the Old Testament prophet, well known and very profound, has a very profound message.
Yes.
And we're going to take a look at his prophecy here in the 12th chapter, and also like you to look in the first Peter in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter number 1, and we'll start at the third verse. But let's read, go ahead and read Daniel 12, starting at verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. That is Daniel 12, verses 8 to 10, the quandary of the prophet Daniel and God's resolution. Now we look in the New Testament. This is the epistle of Peter, who is the protos, as he is called. That means the foremost of the apostles that Jesus chose. And he writes in chapter 1, that started verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that not fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though ye now see him, yet not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Amen. You may be seated in the sanctuary, and we're going to talk just for a few minutes this morning on the topic of empowered by prophetic revelation. Empowered by prophetic revelation. Amen. This is a very powerful segment here that we have come to today. And I just want to talk about this because I think the times that we live in challenge us in a lot of ways. We see shifts in power and situations in the world taking place on a global level now. It's not so much things locally in the United States necessary, but we start to see things on a global level. And so we need to understand that all these things that are going on in the world are not of any surprise to God. That God already knew long ago that things that are going on right now would be going on. And this is the reason why we take a look at what we call prophecy. The prophecy is when God speaks before things that are going to come to pass. So prophecy sometimes is a difficult thing because God is predicting already things that are going on right now. He's already done that. Amazing thing about God is he stopped predicting everything after that, right in the first century. So it's 2018 now. So in other words, all the way back in 95, the first 95 years after Christ had been manifested to the world, God said, I'm done speaking. I don't need to say anything else for all of time. And for that reason, many people who live today say, oh, well, the Bible is old, and they try to put the Bible, say it's old and outdated, because it hasn't been added to since 95 AD. Now, there have been some people who've come around who I like to call some prognosticators, because God said when he finished what he had to say, he said, do not add and do not subtract from the words of the book of this prophecy. So in other words, the book of Revelation chapter 22:18 ends with a curse. God says, if you add to what I've written, then I will add the plagues that are written in this book to you. If you subtract from what I have written, I will take away your name from the book of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. See, so God sealed his word. We always like to talk about sealed with a kiss. Well, God sealed the Bible with a curse. He said, don't tamper with my word. I've said everything I need to say for time and eternity. So, and people today, modern people, they think that that's a problem. They think that's strange because the Bible was written so long ago. How can it have any bearing on what I'm doing right now? How can I get any solace from what it says that that book was written way back and finished, the last chapter of it was written in 95 AD? Think about that for a minute. When we say AD, that's the Latin abbreviation for Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. Year of our Lord. Think about that. So in the year of our Lord, 95, and the biggest highlight to that thing, y'all know I like to talk about, is that this is based on the birth of Jesus, when Jesus was born. So everybody's birth certificate in the room, and not only in the room, but in the country, and even on the planet, is based on Jesus' birth certificate when he was born. So he came into the world. We divide time based on him. No one else. That's a very high credential. But the reason I say that, and I want to emphasize that, is that we are given power, those of us who trust God and believe what he said, by believing what the prophets have spoken. Amen. And you know what? We have a solid proof about these things. The fact that Jesus came when he did, and the fact that he came how he did, and everything that happened to him while he was here was already recorded over 1600 years before he was born. It was written down. And that's when the book of the law began to be written. And so I just pulled out one thing because I want to give an idea to you today that I think will bless you throughout the rest of your week and the rest of your life. And we need a blessing. I don't know about you, but I always like to receive a blessing from God. I like to feel a sense of security that I know God means what he says. He says what he means, and what he has said will surely come to pass. And you know what? God's got a great track record, because when we look at what he said before pertaining to the first coming of Christ, we know that we can trust what he said about the second coming of Christ. Amen. So that's what prophecy does for believers. Now, people who don't believe what God said. And that's the reason why they're lost. The Bible says that they are perishing because they don't believe what God said. So that's why it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So he sent Jesus to save the world. He put the message out very clearly back and finished the whole revelation. That's what really is amazing about God, is that he finished what he had to say, and that's it. I don't need to say anymore. And it's amazing because when we look in the newspaper or we surf the internet about news that's happening now, we find out God already told us what was going to happen. And now CNN is saying, hey, look at this. Jerusalem is now the capital of Israel again. Well, oh, wow, what a revelation. God said it was already. And when Jesus said that there won't be left here one stone left upon another when the temple was destroyed, the second temple, back in time he was here, let's say 30 some years after Jesus first came, he said, this temple here that y'all think so much of, guys that came and showed him all the buildings and all that, it's going to be destroyed, taken down stone upon stone. There won't be one stone left on another. It won't be thrown down. That happened in 70 AD. Came to pass in 70 AD. The prophecy of Jesus was immediately fulfilled after he had died. He had risen from the grave. He had commissioned his church and sent out his apostles to preach the gospel. That's the good news of God to the ends of the earth. You know what? God doesn't have any bad news for you. That's what I want you to know today. The news God has for us is good news. That's why we call it gospel. It's good news. It's a good message that God has settled the debt of our sin once and for all. He did it through his son, Jesus Christ, and it's his choice that everybody magnify him. We were talking about that in Sunday school today. Magnify the Lord. In order to do that, you must magnify his son, because God has made him the only mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Now, this is where all the cults and isms and all them fall apart, right here. And even the Jews, the covenant people, they stumble over who is Jesus. First of all, they don't believe he is who he said he is. And that's what makes them continue in a state of unbelief and a lack of salvation. They have no salvation because God has made Jesus the focal point of salvation. Not just for Christians, if you will, but for whoever, whosoever. That's how you get to be in the group. There's only two religious groups in the world, if you want to call them religious. One of them are those who believe in Jesus Christ, because God only has one mediator, and that is Jesus Christ. The other one is folks who don't. Now, they may call it whatever they want to call it. It doesn't make any difference what they call it. God says you don't. You're either with me or you're against me, Matthew chapter 12, verse 30 says. So it's very easy to understand that. God doesn't want you to have a bunch of confusion about a religious situation. Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me. So whatever they call it, they can call it by a thousand names. If it's against him, it's not with him. See? So there's no salvation there. And this is what we want to tune in, though, on right here today. I wanted to show you one example where Daniel here, and this is one of the prophets, I think one of the very greatest. I'm not going to say he's one of my favorites because I guess I have to, but he is one of my favorites, I got to say it. In either case, he heard, he said, notice this, God has given him prophecy. He has been out of his land due to the first temple having been destroyed, and now they've been taken into Babylon in the southern kingdom. Okay, so the temple that Solomon built was destroyed also. So this is why I take you back to this place. Daniel has now been taken into captivity, and we can go in more detail about that, but I only want you to see one thing out of this today, is that you and I are empowered by prophetic revelation. When we understand prophecy, what God said and how it applies to us, and how it is also applying to the time that we live in, and it's perfectly accurate, it's a precise thing that God has spoken, then you and I can be empowered to continue to press on and carry the message that he left with us, the church. The church is the group of people who are, the Greek word is ekklesia, we are called out. It's a group of people who are called out, come out from among them and be separated unto me. And so you and I are part of that group. You don't have to remember the word ekklesia. That's not going to be on the quiz after the lesson here today. But we are called out, and it's translated in the Bible church most of the time. That's who the church is. It doesn't make any difference what nationality you are. Doesn't make any difference how old you are. Doesn't make any difference how young you are. You know, no generational kind of thing, none of that. Whosoever, the Bible says, believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. That's the proclamation of the Most High God. If you believe that God sent his son into the world, that he raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. Very simple. You know what? You don't have to expect God to try to trick you. He's not trying to trick you. His message is plain and simple. And he makes it that way because he wants everyone to believe it. And you're in one camp or the other. You believe his message or you don't. So, and God predicted accurately the first coming of his son. It was amazing. Somebody said if you took statistics of all the prophecies that came to pass when Jesus came, he fulfilled over 300 things that the prophets had spoken. Did you know that? And they say the probability of 8 of those, if you could predict 8 things that were going to all happen at one time, that you would have to take it. This is the metaphor I heard one preacher use. He said you could take silver dollars. Y'all know what the size of a silver dollar is. You could cover over the whole state of Texas with the number of the probability of 8 things coming to pass with perfect accuracy. Be like if I said, you know, at 12:30, there's going to be a man in a black coat standing on the corner down here, Dr. King and Kinlan, and he's going to have a red umbrella, and then there's going to be a white van that comes up the street and throws some green tabs out right by the man, and he's going to pick them up, put them in his pocket, and you go stand out there right about 12:30, and you start watching all this stuff I said. It's like, wow, look at that, and all that happened. The probability of all of them being accurate, you could take a silver dollar and cover the state of Texas 8 feet high with silver dollars. That's the kind of a number that it would be, if you think about it. And then the probability, after you cover it with the 8 feet of silver dollars, there's one green one in the middle there for you to reach in and pick up the green silver dollar. Wow, that's about how the probability of just 8 things happening. It's just crazy. Now, what do you think if you got 8, the whole state of Texas covered with silver dollars 8 feet high, you're going to reach in, the first one you pull up is going to be the one we're looking for. See what I'm saying? So now multiply that times 300 prophecies. Jesus must be who God said he is. There's without any no doubting whatsoever, you have to know he is who God said he is. So his prophecy is accurate. Even though we would say, oh, that's antique. It's old, but it's correct. And nothing has changed. And people have tried intentionally to make the Bible be a lie. Guess what happened to them? They failed. They failed. That's what happened to them. So you and I can be empowered to continue to stand for the Lord by prophetic revelation. Now, notice what Daniel says here. There's some things I want you to see, and I hope not to be too long with you. Daniel in chapter 12 received prophecy from an angel, and he said this. He said, and I heard, but I understood not. I heard what he said, wrote it down, but I don't get it. Don't understand it. So what did he do? He prayed. That's what we ought to do when we don't understand. He says, then said I, oh, my Lord, look who he goes to. What shall be the end of these things? How's this going to turn out, God? And you know what God told him? Look at verse number 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. In other words, you don't need to worry about this. If we like today, we would say, don't worry about that. I got this. Don't worry about it. Just write that down. Daniel said, hey, I don't get this, Lord. I don't understand it. Have you ever read something in the Bible and you go, you know what? I don't get this. I don't understand it. Well, some stuff hasn't been revealed yet. And God will say to you the same thing. He says, these words are closed up and sealed to the end of time. Then he says this. He gives them a little more to think about. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly. Notice this. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. When you believe God and you trust him, he gives you supernatural wisdom to understand what he wants you to know. And he gives you supernatural wisdom to understand what he said. He gives you supernatural wisdom to trust in what he said. And what he said, even though you don't see it, you don't have to see it, you believe it because God gives you the ability by his spirit to do so. And so Daniel, he got a little rest here because he still didn't get it. And he went on to his grave eventually. It was sometime after this. But he never did really fully see what he had written come to pass. And he was wondering about it. So this is what I want you to see from this. that sometimes, and I'm going to just take you to our first point in the message here, the Old Testament prophets being led by the Holy Spirit operated in a more distant relationship with God than New Testament believers do, because of the reality of the effectiveness of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's what makes it where you and I have a easier way to understand than Daniel did, which was not a mere foreshadowing of what was required to satisfy God when Jesus came, but in fact, it was the actual and complete payment made for the redemption of the entire family of God, both the Old and the New Testament. See, when Jesus came, he completed some things that were incomplete in the Old Testament. They were spoken of, they were looked forward to, they were prophesied, they were believed by the Jews through all those years. And yet when Jesus came, God already predicted that the people who are the quote-unquote religious people are the ones who are going to turn on me. And he knew it already. It was written in the Word, Psalm 22, that they pierced my hands and my feet. It was written all through the Word, prophecy about how Jesus would be crucified. See, a Lord who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He goes on, Isaiah says, and talks about how he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace, and with his stripes we are healed. And Isaiah didn't really get it either. When we read on the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts chapter 8, he didn't get it either. He went to the temple. He was on his way back to Ethiopia. And Philip said, hey, do you understand that you're reading? He said, no, how can I understand unless somebody teaches me? And so he began to teach him about Christ crucified, buried, and risen as he was driving through a desert place. See? And then he got the revelation. The sad part about that was that he had just left the temple with the religious folks, and they did not know what the prophecy meant. And so God sent somebody to him, Philip, the evangelist, to tell him what the prophecy meant. So what I want you to see here today is that the Old Testament prophets, just like Daniel says here, I heard, but I didn't understand. He didn't get it. But God said, just write that down and go your way. I got you covered. I got your back. See, and you're going to be with the righteous when it's all done. So a lot of stuff that the Old Testament prophets had, they did not get it. They didn't quite get it. And this is what I want you to see here, that it was God's choice to conceal full-blown revelation of his plan to offer his own son, Jesus the Messiah, as a sacrificial lamb by crucifixion, to Old Testament prophets and to the covenant people, that would be the Jews. But at the first appearing of Jesus, he has chosen that believers in the church age, that's the time we live in now, would possess the high honor and the privilege to not only understand clearly his plan, but also to preach it to the ends of the earth. So God has declared that his church, who he commissioned, would preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. That we will have revelation. And the reason why is he doesn't leave it up to us. It's not our knowledge. It's not what we know. It's not what we think. It's his spirit. Now indwells everyone who believes. If you believe, it doesn't make any difference how educated you are. The Holy Spirit is given to you. The same Holy Spirit is given to everyone who believes in Christ. It's given to you. And what does he do? He gives you comfort. He lets you know you're saved. He gives you that sense of confidence on the inside. God has got my back. I'm covered. I don't have to worry about it. Jesus paid my bill in full. He died and got up out of the grave with all power in his hand. And you know that. You know that deeply within your spirit, because the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit, Paul said, that we are children of God. See, so, and why can we understand this? And why would not a prophet like Daniel or Isaiah or Jeremiah or even Moses, why would they not get it? Because the bill was not fully paid. And I want you to understand this. The church age is a special time in the history of the world. And right now we are hated by so many people. And the tables are turning because the wicked do not understand. And Daniel explained here in his prophecy why that is. He said he didn't get the reason to answer why he didn't understand. He said, I heard this but did not understand. But when the answer came, it says, he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up. See that? And sealed. God sealed the words so that no one would understand them until the time of the end. So that tells you what time we're in now, because we understand things Daniel wrote that he didn't even get. And the outcome will be this, verse 10. Many shall be purified and made white. That means brought from being against God to being right with God. From being unclean to being pure with God. And he says, and they will be tried, and the wicked shall do wickedly. None of the wicked shall understand. That's the problem. Because they don't believe God, they do not understand what God said. But the wise shall understand. Wisdom is to know God and to believe his word. It's wise to know God and to believe his word, to trust what he said. And when you do, more wisdom is given to you. If you reject God, the wisdom you have will amount to nothing. And you'll end up in a bad situation. So God had to explain to Daniel that I'm saving this for another time. And this is why I bring you to this text here in 1 Peter. And we can look at this and see. Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. That's being born again, in other words, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we have knowledge because of the resurrection of Christ and our faith in him. When you believe that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. And when you are saved, guess what? You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise for the day of redemption. God puts his seal on you. So the Spirit is in there. Guess what? He's not going anywhere. You are sealed. Who can take God's seal off of something? See what I'm saying? Who's bigger and better that they can remove his seal? No one. So you and I are sealed for the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30 says. Now notice this, Peter says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, is reserved in heaven for you. The inheritance you and I have is reserved in heaven for us. You know how we know? Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house, or many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Who else could have told you? Only somebody who'd been there, right? So he says, and I go to prepare a place for you. That's how we know. Because he said, when I left, came down here, showed you I have power and authority over every problem you have. And the biggest and most scariest one is death. And I snatched away the keys from death. And I send it up out of the grave with all power and all authority. And I'm going to sit down at my Father's right hand. You know, there was no place in the Holy of Holies for the priest to sit except on the mercy seat. And you wouldn't dare put your hips up there, but let me tell you that. You would not dare approach the mercy seat and think you're going to sit there. See, but Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. And he's making intercession. That means he's still acting out his priestly role to be a mediator between God and us. He's over there to advocate for you every time you have a problem. Every time you sin, he's there to impart mercy to you. And when he wants you to know more, his Spirit is there to teach you what you need to know in every situation. So you know what? We need to stop listening to the bad news. Stop listening. You can listen to it, but you know what? It ought to be like water off a duck's back. Right on and right off. Because you don't have to worry about it. The Lord has fixed it up. He's given you power and authority over everything evil in the world. Notice what Peter says. He says, you are kept through the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, that's something that came from 2,000 years ago up to where we are today. Daniel went from the 2,000 years before nearly up to the time of Peter. Now, Peter says from that time up until the time of the end, that's bringing us up to today and from henceforth. He says, notice this, wherein ye greatly rejoice. That's why I got the King James on this. It says, wherein ye, that means all you who believe, greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That's what it seems like going through this life. There's a lot of stuff that you worry about that bothers you. But God gives you a sense of comfort no matter what it is. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. Even to the end of the world. So whatever you're going through, even up to the end of the world, I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So he says, even though the testing of our faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He will be back. God says, I can preserve you through my spirit until he comes back. I can preserve you through my word until he comes back. Now notice this, it says, whom having not seen, ye love. The church loves Jesus, even though we haven't seen him. Because his prophecy is so accurate that we can't deny it. And you've got people today who want to tell you don't believe the Bible. But the people who really believe it, they have faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now notice this, he says, receiving as the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So that salvation is secure already. It's been secured by Jesus Christ. Of which salvation? Now he talks about people like Daniel. The prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Peter said, he's looking back now at Isaiah, he's looking back at Daniel. Because all these people prophesied that there was a day of grace coming to you. See that? And that he didn't even understand. Notice this, verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. See, that's what Daniel couldn't get. I can't get that Messiah has to be crucified. Don't understand that. There are too many pieces of the puzzle. I can't put it together, Lord. What does this mean? What shall the end of these things be? That's what Daniel asked. Remember that? And that says here, unto whom it was revealed that it was not for themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now, this will really blow your mind if you think it through. Do you know that there are angels, holy angels, and fallen angels that don't understand stuff that you and I believe and that we teach? You know where they learn stuff about Jesus from? From the church. Have you ever thought about that? The angels long to look into it. They're probably going, Lord, how can you put up with folk like this? You know, and the only reason is because Jesus, my son, came down, and I don't even see all that iniquity. I don't see that sin anymore because they trust him. He is the only one that ever satisfied me. They trust him. All I can see is the blood. When I see the blood, my people are covered. I don't see any wretchedness in their life. I don't see any ignorance. I don't see anything that's negative. And the angels are going, well, we don't get it. How can you be so merciful? You know why? They never needed any mercy. If you're absolutely holy, you don't understand mercy. See that? So even the holy angels are amazed by the extreme privilege which God has bestowed upon the church to bear his name and the glory of his son Jesus to all the world, both Jews and Gentiles, who are being granted a period known as the church age or the times of the Gentiles. That's where we are right now. And we have this time period to spread the best news ever of salvation by grace alone. In Christ alone, you should see yourself as a privileged individual. God has given us some things he hasn't even given to any other generation of people in the church. So the church is special. I don't know what you think. Somebody might like you to think the church is not good the way they talk today. But the church is the only people who are put down because they say, oh, we alienate all these other people. Supposedly. You know, but that's not true. Our doors are open for anybody. No matter what kind of mess you're into, we're here to tell you God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. He shed his blood for you. He got up out the grave for you. And he is seated at the right hand of God to intercede for you. So we don't reject anybody. But you know what? God will teach you that, as God said, he told Peter and his crew, remember, they were fishermen. And I'm going to talk because I'm a fisherman too. And he said to them, he said, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. See? And that's what they did. They changed their profession. They started to fish for people. How do you do it? Go tell them the good news. Tell them about my son. Tell them about me, Jesus was saying. And I'm going to save them. And they're going to become a part of my called out ones, the church. See? And when you do, you know what? It's a once and for all thing. It's done once and for all. Ephesians 4:30 says that we should not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom we have been sealed for the day of redemption. God seals the Holy Spirit in every believer. You know what that does? That gives him authority that if I go too far out of the way, I need to look over and see Ananias and Sapphira. They came in trying to test the Holy Spirit. They dropped dead right there in the church. You can't preach that today, though. You know, that will scare some folk there. You know, but the fact is, they were sealed. I expect to see them in heaven, but they shortened up their time on earth because they tested the Holy Spirit of God. So God is holy. He's righteous. He loves you just like you are. And as I always say, one of my favorite sins is he loves you too much to leave you like you are. He's going to change some stuff in your life. But he won't break into your door. But he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man open unto me, I will come in and sup with him and he with thee. See, God wants to have supper with you. He wants to come in and be made at home in your life. He wants you to trust me with whatever you're dealing with. Whatever it is, I can fix it. I already paid the bill. And if you just trust me, I will fix it. See, that's all we have to do. So this is what we're saying to a world that's corrupted and twisted. Don't let the devil tell you have to stay that way and it's okay. No, it's not okay. God will fix it. And he loves you just like you are. Even though you're struggling with that thing, whatever it is, he loves you like that. Come on in. And they always say, well, you know, the church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites. I always tell them, yeah, that's true. Come on in. We got room for more. Got plenty of room if you want to call us hypocrites. The worst hypocrite is the one who won't come in because you don't believe what God said. See? So you want to call somebody a hypocrite? Yeah, we got plenty of seats for some more. Come on in here. That's why we say we have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. See, and it's in that process. Remember what? I'm going to shut up. I'm going to get a little long with you. When God told Moses to go back and tell the Pharaoh, let my people go. He said, well, Lord, wait a minute now. I had a bad situation back there when I was there, Lord. I actually killed somebody and buried him in the sand. God knew that. And I left because the Pharaoh was going to cut my head off. It never says that in the Bible, I want y'all to know. I'm just getting in Moses' head right now. Well, he's standing up here in the desert in Midian, and he's at a burning bush which is not being consumed. And God told him to take off your shoes because the ground you're standing on is holy ground. What could you be thinking if God tells you, I want you to go back, and then you say, oh, no, Lord, not me. I stutter. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I guess you're not. You're trembling and knocking at your knees now because you talking to the Most High God. But he told him to go on back. I'll send your brother and he can be your mouthpiece. You know, and Moses didn't want to go back. He had fled from there 40 years before. Hadn't been there for 40 years. See, God told him to go back and tell the Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may come and worship me. And so we're still saying the same thing. God's going to cover you and he will let you go. He will tell you, to whatever's holding you, he'll say to it, let them go. Send them to me, and I'll purify them. You know what? They were a basket case anyway after Moses went back. They didn't even appreciate what God did, but yet they were the people of God. So God loves you just like you are, whatever you're doing, whatever you're going through. And you know what? The truth is, you can't fix it, but he can. He can give you authority over it. He can break the chains of the devil and the enemy. He can set you free into the glorious liberty of the children of God. But you have to trust him and believe him. If you trust and believe, you shall be saved, the Bible says. You don't even have to understand it. Don't try to understand. The word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. See, he wants to direct your path. And that begins with a relationship that you need to have with him. So we're going to give you the opportunity right now to come. Amen. Maybe you're already saved. Some people have been in church. They got out and didn't have the audacity to come back. And that could be you. I was out of the church for a long time. And because I was in the church when I was a kid, my grandparents brought me up in the church. And when they passed away, I kind of got disconnected from the church until I was in my adolescence and began to, as we like to say, oh, he's sowing wild oats. I think I was sowing foolishness. But eventually I went back to the church, and the very first time I came back, I heard a message. The pastor was preaching about the last days. And I heard in whatever he said, I don't know all what he said, but I sure said, I got to get back in the church. I'm coming back because this is where I belong. See, I realized this is where I belong, kind of like the prodigal son. He went off into a far country and squandered everything he had on riotous living, the Bible says. See, and then when he was over there in the midst of the swine pit, nobody helped him over there. Everything he had went down, 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 all the way till he was in the pit with the swine, fighting over some corn shucks. Give me those shucks, you can't have them. Fighting with a swine over some slop. Think about it. That's about how I felt. And I said, you know what? My father's house, the prodigal said, the barn is better than where I'm at here. Let me just get up and go to my father. I believe he'll understand. The truth is, God does understand. He loves you just like you are. Don't let the devil fool you. God wants you in the church. He loves you just like you are. He never stopped loving you.
Never.
That's why you see that father sitting on the porch, waiting to see that silhouette of my boy coming over the hill. And when I see him, I'm going to run down the road and get him and cover him with the best robe, put sandals on his feet, and put a ring on his hand and bring him back and rejoice because he's coming back on his own. So we offer you Christ right now. If you're here today and Christ is not in the forefront of your life, we invite you to come right now. Let him be your Savior. He loves you just like you are. We're going to baptize one here in just a minute, our brother Tate, who has trusted in Christ for some time. But he wants to make sure he's doing everything right. So he said he'd like to be baptized in the pool of baptism. So you can get on that list if you're here today and you're not saved. Make sure, make your calling and your election sure, like Peter said. Don't leave here today uncovered. We want you to be covered. God wants you to be saved. Amen. Come to Jesus while you have time. Come on right now. Come to Jesus. Make up your mind. He will make your life brand new. He will take care of you. Come to Jesus while you have time. Amen, amen. We receive you right now, my brother.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah.
We thank God for sending this.
Glory, hallelujah.
Amen. And he has done a wise thing.
My Lord.
The scripture says, do not be ashamed of only before men. And neither will I be ashamed of only before my Father who is in heaven.
Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus.
He's able to do exceeding and abundantly beyond all that we can ask to think. If there's anyone else, come right now. Maybe you're already saved and you want to be a member here at St. Timothy. We give you that opportunity also. And if you may come at this time, amen. We open the door to you right now. Amen. It's a good thing to get under the covering, under the umbrella of the Lord Jesus, because he loves you just like you are, and he can help you with things you can't do by yourself. Amen. So if you're here, we want to give you that opportunity as well. While we're waiting, we want to congratulate our sister Larita for finishing her new members course. Amen. And we have a certificate we would like to present to her also. And I know she's very timid and all that, but we love her. And she has really come in and shown herself that she loves the Lord and she loves St. Timothy. And she is a blessing to us, so we thank God for her. Amen. We're going to go ahead and give her that certificate also at this time. Amen. We thank God for her. Amen. Come on, she's a little bit, like I said, has a timid spirit, but I want to shake your hand and give you a hug, And we're going to present to you a certificate for completing the new members course. First lady herself will bring that and deliver it to you. Amen. We congratulate you. Thank you. We love you. And continue to study and be in the word. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We have another new member course going to start after the conference. So we have some people who just recently joined the church. We'll be starting that next session pretty soon. Sister Kim and maybe perhaps my brother here today can make it in on that. Who do we have today, Sister V? Brother Wagner, would you like to make a statement about your Christian experience? You don't have to, but we give you the opportunity if you'd like to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very much into church. I was born and raised in
all
church.
Right, all right.
I'm actually ordained, backslidden ordained preacher.
All right.
I mean, you know, so I just come here for prayer.
Amen.
Lord,
amen.
Lead me this way, and I had to start being obedient.
All right, I appreciate that. You're doing what the Lord told you to do, brother. That's a good thing. And maybe the Lord is calling you back, and we need to start working with you to get you where you're supposed to be.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Down right now.
All right. Well, we can see what we can do to get you back on track. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, we praise you. We bless you. We thank you for Brother Wagner, Lord God. And Father, you know why you called him here today, Father. We just pray that you bless him today, Father. Fill him with your spirit. Keep him just moving in your path, Lord God. We know you can